I also saw under the sun this example of wisdom that greatly impressed me. There was once a small city with only a few people in it, and a powerful king came against it, surrounded it, and built huge siege works against it. Now there lived in that city a man poor but wise, and he saved the city by his wisdom. But nobody remembered that poor man. So I said, wisdom is better than strength, but the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are no longer heeded. I want to welcome you to Mount Olive Church today. If you're brand new with us, this is from the book of Ecclesiastes. We've been going through a series this fall on the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes, which we've subtitled Meaning Less. And the reason we subtitled it Meaning Less is because this is a phrase that the teacher teaches throughout the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, you might remember way back when the teacher first started teaching, back in September, 3,000 years ago. Actually, we started the series in September. The teacher started this way. He said, meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. And we might look at that and say, well, the word meaningless means without purpose. So everything in the world is meaningless and without purpose. But it's not exactly what the teacher was saying. In fact, he defines what he means by meaningless in the very next thing he says. He says, what do people gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun? See, what the teacher is doing is he's looking at life under the sun, which means the 70, 80, or 90 years that we've been given, possibly, right? He looks at life under the sun, and he says all of it's meaningless, but not without purpose meaningless, because he defines it this way. What do people gain? In all of our chasing and running and scurrying about to try and grasp and control and gain in this world, he says, that is meaningless. See, we come into the world naked and we leave the world naked. So no matter how much we grasp and hold and take and chase after, do we really gain anything? So he says all of that chasing about to try and gain in life under the sun is, well, the word he uses is actually the word hevel. It's a Hebrew word. We translate it into English as meaningless, but it doesn't just mean meaningless. It's this idea of it's like a short transitory life. It's like a vapor. It's like mist. It's like smoke at a campfire. You try to grab and control, but you can't. It's an enigma. You thought, if I do this, it's going to do that. But it didn't quite turn out the way you had thought it would. This is what life is under the sun, this temporary life we have on earth. It's hevel. You can't grab it or control it or gain by it. In fact, even a good quality such as wisdom, the teacher says, is also hevel. Now, if you've been tracking with us, the teacher, we've already had two full messages on wisdom, talking about wisdom and then just giving us wisdom. And the teacher, again, is going to do the same. He's going to give us more tidbits about wisdom. But here's something, if you remember back, regarding some of the limits of wisdom and how wisdom itself is also hevel. It's meaningless, or it's without what we thought it was going to give. We can't control life through wisdom. So one of the limits is wisdom cannot lead us into life, because we all know the reality. It doesn't matter how wise you are in the 70 or 80 or 90 years, or how foolish you are. Eventually, death is the great equalizer, right? So in this way, wisdom can't lead us into life. We still all die. It's a limit of wisdom. Secondly, we saw that our wisdom has limits because there are things we can't control and there's things we can't know. See, wisdom says this: if you do this, it will have an effect on later, and a good effect. Foolishness is you do this now and it will have a poor effect on later. And so we know that wisdom has an effect on later, and it would tempt us to possibly try to use wisdom to control later. But he says, no, 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 you can't guarantee outcomes. Even with wisdom, which will say generally this may happen, you can't control outcomes. So here's some of the limits of wisdom. Well, as we continue, we might ask, well, if wisdom has these limits, what's the point of wisdom? The teacher told us in that story. Remember what he said? So I said, wisdom is better than. Wisdom is better than. See, because we get 70, 80, or 90 years, and you can live that in a better than way, better, or you can live it worser. It's a word, okay? So you can live better, or you can live worser. And the teacher in wisdom is saying, you should live wisely. Because although, yes, there's limits to wisdom and you can't guarantee the future, and we still all die in this world, wisdom is the better way than the worser way. So he says, live wisely. Well, as we continue today, he's going to give us some tidbits of wisdom, which is the better way to live. And I've said this before, but often in wisdom literature, it bounces a bit. So you might feel like you're getting 8 or 9 messages. It's just the way wisdom literature works. And so we'll bounce along with it. Here's the good news. However you came today, you will get something out of the message, right? I mean, it just bounces. There's going to be something for every one of us. So he's going to give us some wisdom. And then he's going to say, oh yeah, but you can't control the future. But here's how you use wisdom wisely. Even though you can't control the future, what do you do with wisdom once you've been given it? So if you have your Bibles, go to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. We're going to start in verse 17. Now, as you're looking for that, middle of your Bible, Ecclesiastes, middle-ish of your Bible. Last week, you may remember, the teacher invited us, because he says, you have a short life, and you can't control all things. So he invited us to enjoy life. Right? If you have 70, 80, or 90 years, you can worry about every little thing and get all tied up in knots and be hard on relationships because you're perfectionist and all these. You can take life so seriously that you don't even enjoy life, but you only get one. So he's like, why not enjoy the one life you've been given, which means live in the moment. Don't wreck today by the mistakes and the regrets of the past, but don't ruin today by the worries and cares and anxieties of the future. Live in the moment. But as you might remember from last week, he invites us to live in the moment, walk down this road of living in the moment, but there are ditches on each side of the road that we're prone to fall into. You might remember I talked about the ditches, right? And one ditch is, we can take life way too seriously, right? Nitpick and worry about the past and the future. And he says, no, just take it easy. You only get the moment. Live in the moment and enjoy the moment. So one ditch is we just take life too seriously. The other ditch is we don't take life seriously enough, right? And it's like, we don't even know if tomorrow's coming, right? So just live for the today. Don't worry about tomorrow. It'll worry about itself. Just enjoy the moment, right? And now he's saying, no, don't fall into that ditch. Wisdom says, don't fall into that ditch because here's the deal. What you do today will affect your tomorrow, right? And so he's inviting us to live wisely. And here's some wisdom to live by. A few golden nuggets of wisdom you can apply to your life. He starts this way. The quiet words of the wise are more to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools. I think this proverb, this wise saying, is pointing to something we all know in a different way. It goes this way, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Now, if you're not like a farmer or like you're not mechanically inclined, what does that mean? It means the thing that's making all the noise gets all the attention. And what the teacher is saying is sometimes there are some shouts of rulers of fools, but they get all of our attention. It's like just because that person is the richest, just because that person has a lot of popularity, just because that person, you kind of look up to, doesn't mean that you should pay attention to their words. And sometimes in work or in school, we can be like, man, if they're doing it, I got to do it too. It must be good, right? Or that person's the loudest, right? They're really wealthy, so I'm just going to pay attention to their words. But the teacher's saying, whoa, 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 be careful not just to listen to the voice that's the loudest. Because sometimes it's the quiet voice of wisdom that we need to pay attention to. And specifically, I would say the quiet whisper of God's Spirit inside of you. In the crazy noise of all that's going on around us, pay attention to the quiet voice, the The loud voice isn't always the wisest. He goes on, more wisdom. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. Remember before he said wisdom is better than strength? Now he says it's better than weapons of war. It has so much power, wisdom does. But here's a sad and difficult truth. One sinner destroys much good. He says this another way, which brings about the same truth. As dead flies give perfume a bad smell, so a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. And here's the sad, and sometimes we don't want to accept truth of this proverb. You can live, what this is saying, you can live a lifetime of wise decisions and build up a beautiful jar of perfume of all the wise decisions you've made. And although wisdom has all this power, it's better than strength, there's something on the scales that is heavier, weightier than all those decisions of wisdom. And it's one foolish or sinful act. And if you don't believe me, let me give you a couple of examples. You can live your whole married life making wise and good decisions of living in sexual and relational purity with your spouse. For 30 and 40 years, you live wisely and you build up this perfume of great relationship. Yet one act of folly, of sexual immorality, could destroy all that beautiful trust you built. In finances, you could live 30 years and make only wise decisions and gain all this wealth. And yet one act of foolishness financially could destroy all of what you built up. The weight, and here's the sad heart truth, the weight of foolishness and sin is heavy, and it's heavier. It outweighs a whole bunch of wise decisions. It's a hard truth for us to accept because the reality is we all know we're going to do some pretty stupid, foolish things. We're going to do some sin. In fact, James, the half-brother of Jesus in James chapter 2, he points to this in chapter 2, verse 10. He says, anyone who keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all the law. You've become a lawbreaker. And so this is a heavy truth that we can mess up. If the teacher's calling us to live into today, we can mess up today by the mistakes of yesterday. But here's the hope. You have today. And tomorrow will be some days yesterday. So today you get to make decisions that lead you into a path of wisdom, not destruction, of life rather than death. And so the teacher is inviting us, although there's this heavy truth of, man, I can do a lot of good things, but one mistake, I can mess it all up. He's saying you get to recreate your past today. Because your past starts today. Because tomorrow will be yesterday. Will be today. So he's inviting us, live into a new future. But here's even better than that. The teacher, I think this truth is pointing to the beauty of the gospel of Jesus. Because we all know we're going to mess up and our sin is going to outweigh our good. But Jesus, in his righteousness, has come and paid for all of our sin and given us a brand new start, clean. And then he invites us. Today you get to start to tell your story, a new story of a new past. This is a new you that you get to live into in me. And so there's hope, but it's a truth we must weigh. And he invites us as you make decisions today, because you can't worry about yesterday and the regrets and mistakes of yesterday, But as you make decisions today, they will have an effect on tomorrow. And tomorrow will be today, which I'll have a story of yesterday. And you get to tell that new story as you live wisely. He goes on. The heart of the wise inclines to the right, but the heart of fools to the left. Even as fools walk along the road, they lack sense and show everyone how stupid they are. When I was a kid, I wasn't allowed to say stupid, but it's in the Bible, so I did today. So, you know, here's what this proverb I think is speaking to. Cream rises to the top. And you watch someone long enough, and the cream of wisdom or the cream of foolishness will eventually rise to the top, and you'll be able to see, oh, that is foolish or that is wise. So just give it time. Watch. See, is that a wise person? Do I want to follow them? He goes on. More wisdom. If a ruler's anger rises against you, do not leave your post. Calmness can lay great offenses to rest. Here is an unbelievable proverb. He said earlier that wisdom is better than strength. Now he's saying, even though you are under the authority of someone whose anger rises against you, and you may be tempted to fight anger with anger, fire with fire, malicious intent with malicious intent. And maybe you're like, well, this is my boss, or this is the owner of the company, or this is my pastor who's just doing terrible things, or whatever it is, and you think, I had no choice but to respond with anger. The teachers say, no, you do have a choice. In fact, even though they have power and authority over you, there is something better than strength. You have wisdom. And wisdom says you don't fight fire with fire. You don't fight anger with anger, even though they're a ruler over you. If you respond with kindness or calmness, you can lay all kinds of offenses to rest. You're not a victim. You have wisdom in your hand, and you can use this. And I've seen this in countless situations. I've experienced this in many situations. Someone comes with anger, and the other person responds with fire and anger, and the temperature of the room just goes up, up, up. But likewise, when someone comes with fire and anger and you respond with calmness, it's almost like it's an invitation for the other person to take on calmness. In fact, the writer of Proverbs says this, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. See, the temperature of the room, you can increase the temperature and you can decrease the temperature, and the teacher is inviting us to use wisdom. Proverbs also says, a king's wrath is a messenger of death, but the wise will appease it. Even though he's the king, there's something better than strength, and it's wisdom. How do you respond in relationships? In fact, I would invite you in your family relationships, in your marriage, if you take nothing else from this message today, just apply this. When someone comes running at you with fire and anger, respond in calmness and just see how your relationships change. He goes on. There is an evil I've seen under the sun, the sort of error that arises from a ruler. He's speaking of rulers again. Fools are put in many high positions while the rich occupy low ones. I have seen slaves on horseback while princes go on foot like slaves. Now, we might take from this and say, well, being poor must be bad and being rich must be good. But that's not what the teacher's saying. In fact, earlier in the story he told, he said there was a poor but wise man. So you can be poor and wise. But in the societal norm in his day was that wise people generally ruled the city or the town, and they were often the ones that also, because they were wise, became wealthy. But what he's saying is the problem that I see in life, the error in this world, is sometimes there's fools that have more power and rule over the wise. And wise are at their disposal, the wise are at the disposal of the fools. And he says this is a great, great error. More wisdom. I love this one. Whoever digs a pit may fall into it. Whoever breaks through a wall may be bitten by a snake. Whoever quarries stones may be injured by them, and whoever splits logs may be endangered by them. I think what the teacher is looking at here is the truth. Again, a hard truth for us to accept or understand. Or not understand, but to accept the truth that sometimes what we do is what hurts us. In fact, many of these proverbs, we could do an entire message or series on, and we did a few years ago an entire series on these two verses. It was a series we entitled, How to Not Self-Destruct. And what we realize is that many times we are our own worst enemies. That we destroy ourselves with our decision making. And the teacher is saying, hey, whoever digs a pit may actually be the one to fall into it. As it relates to anger, as he talked about earlier, and malicious intent, that we can destroy ourselves with our anger. We can destroy ourselves with our lack of forgiveness for those who have wronged us. Oh, we're going to get them with our bitterness, and then we destroy ourselves with our bitterness. We dig a pit that we fall into. And so he's inviting us, consider, you may be doing things that are actually going to hurt you in your own future. In fact, there's a famous story in the Old Testament that relays this idea beautifully. It's the story of Esther. It's actually not the story of Esther. It's found in the book of Esther. It's the story of Haman. And you may remember the story, maybe you don't, but Esther was queen of a country that had different origins than her her background, her culture, but she was queen. A Jewish queen in not a Jewish country. Her relative Mordecai refused to bow down to a ruler in the country, not the king, a different ruler in the country, whose name was Haman. Haman was so upset and filled with so much anger and malicious intent that he decided, I got to figure out a way to have Mordecai killed. So he built this gallows outside his house, 75 feet tall, and he was going to hang Mordecai on the gallows. Well, it wasn't just enough for him to get to Mordecai. He wanted to kill all of Mordecai's people, the Jews. And so he had this plan set up, approved by the king, to kill all the Jews in a particular day. Well, Esther hears about it from Mordecai. They come up with a plan. She tells the king, hey, this man Haman wants to kill me, the queen, and all my people. And the king's like, what? And he's so angry. And he's like, justice will be served to Haman. And then someone in the court says, oh, hey, I just saw there's some gallows outside of Haman's house. And the king hangs Haman on this very gallows that he built for Mordecai. Whoever digs a pit may fall into it. Be careful how you live. You could be your own worst enemy. He goes on, more wisdom. If the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed, but skill will bring success. This is the old adage that says, work smarter, not harder, which you learn sometime after 25, I think. I don't know. So more strength is needed. But because he's been talking about relationships so much, I think this applies most strongly. Work with skill in your interpersonal relationships. Use wisdom. It will do wonders for your relationships. He goes on. If a snake bites before it's charmed, the charmer receives no fee. I think what the teacher's getting at here is this. You may have the wisdom of a charmer, you know so much. But if you don't act quickly enough, your wisdom is of no value to you. If you are paralyzed in your decision-making, you could miss the opportunity, even though you had the wisdom. And so, don't take too long. If a snake bites before it's charmed, the charmer receives no fee. You may be given wisdom, but at some point you have to act on the knowledge and wisdom you've been given. He goes on, wisdom literature almost always talks about the words that come out of our mouth. He talks about words now. Words from the mouth of the wise are gracious. Again, lots to do with interpersonal relationships, but fools are consumed by their own lips. At the beginning, their words are folly. At the end, they are wicked madness, and fools multiply their words. No one knows what is coming. Who can tell someone else what will happen after them? Fools multiply words. In chapter 6, verse 11, the teacher had already told us, the more words, the less meaning. And how does that help anyone? How is that a benefit, right? But fools just keep talking. I'm going to keep going. Goes on. The toil of fools wearies them. They do not know the way to town. Maybe that's like they're working harder but not smarter, right? Or maybe they're just not working at all. They don't even know because they're not thinking ahead. They're just living in the moment. They don't even know the way to town. Woe to the land whose king was a servant and whose princes feast in the morning. But blessed is the land whose king is of noble birth and whose princes eat at a proper time for strength and not for drunkenness. the teacher's pointing at here is that if rulers use their power and position and wealth simply to party life away, they are not working for the good of the country. And so he says, woe to the country who has a ruler who maybe grew up poor and then became rich and then used the rich just to party life away. They didn't eat the right time. But blessed is the country, the land whose king and princes eat at a proper time, and they eat for the purpose of doing good for those they rule over. They're not lazy. Now, we may say, oh, yeah, this is so true of governments and those in authority, but this is also true of us individually. He points at the individual now. Through laziness, the rafters sag. Because of idle hands, the house leaks. Just as it's bad for a country to have lazy leaders, so it is bad for ourselves. The worser way to live is to live as lazy. A feast is made for laughter, and wine makes life merry, and money is the answer for everything. I think he's describing how often we view life if we live the lazy life, right? Just party it up, live in the moment, don't think about the future, and we already know that money's not the answer for everything, because he pursued that in chapter 1 and chapter 2, and it didn't lead him to the good life. And so this is not the pathway. Do not revile the king even in your thoughts, or curse the rich in your bedroom, because a bird in the sky may carry your words, and a bird on the wing may report what you say. I think this points back to what the teacher was talking about earlier when he said, if the king comes in anger, respond with calmness. The idea is this: don't unnecessarily tick off people who have a rule and power and authority over you. It's just the worser way to live, right? Don't unnecessarily, even in your thoughts, don't unnecessarily tick off people who have power and authority over you. It's just going to be bad for you. He's calling us to live wisely. So we have all these nuggets of wisdom, right? About how we're to live and not dig pits that we're going to fall into ourselves, right? Watch how you live. You may be your own worst enemy. And how we're to speak and how we're to make decisions quickly. Not wait too long. We might miss the opportune moment. So all this wisdom. But what we've already seen as a limit of wisdom is our wisdom has limits. There are things we can't control, and there's things we can't know. So all this wisdom is going to have an effect on our future. Right? Apply these nuggets and it will be better for you, undoubtedly. But the reality is, you're not going to miss out on all the hard parts of life because we can't know and we can't control everything. So what do we do with the wisdom we've been given? How do we act wisely with this wisdom? Here's what he says. Ship your grain across the sea, and after many days, you may receive a return. So we have all this wisdom. What do we do with it? You may have heard this verse in another version. It says, cast your bread upon the waters, and in time it will come back to you. So we have all these nuggets of wisdom. What do we do with it? Here's what he's telling us to do. Invest. Invest in 7 ventures. Yes, in 8. You do not know what disaster may come upon the land. So you've been given all this wisdom, and we read this passage and often we think he's talking about finances. And if you're going to be a good investor, you should invest in a whole bunch of things. That may be true financially, but I don't think he's speaking primarily financially. He's given us all kinds of nuggets of wisdom, and we've been given all these different things. And now he's saying, here's what you're to do with all the wisdom I just gave you. Invest it, and don't just pick one, because you may pick one, but you may miss out on all the other benefits of the other parts of wisdom. Invest in many ways. Now, you can't know and control the future. So it's like, I'm going to invest in all these and it should go better. There may be some things that will go worse, but some of it's going to come back to you. But you don't know which ones. So invest in all of it. Invest in many things. You don't know what disaster may come upon the land. If clouds are full of water, they pour rain on the earth. Whether a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there it will lie. To which all of us say, duh, right? What he's saying is, this is reality. This is life. There's some things you can't change. In fact, whoever watches the wind will not plant, and whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. See, you can know and have all the nuggets of wisdom that could breed all kinds of goodness for your life. But if you're just constantly considering, thinking about, like a snake charmer that doesn't actually charm. You never make a decision. All that wisdom is of no value to you. You will not reap any good. So it goes on, as you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. There's some things we don't know. So what do? Sow your seed in the morning. And at evening, let your hands not be idle, for you don't know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. You don't know which is going to succeed. So with all the wisdom I've just given you, the teacher would say, invest it, do something. And he wraps it all up, I think, this way, verse 7 and 8. Light is sweet and it pleases the eyes to see. However many years anyone may live, let them enjoy them all. We only get today, so enjoy the life, enjoy the day that you've been given. It's a gift of God. But don't fall into the ditch of tomorrow never comes. Hey, I'm just going to live for today. I'm just going to enjoy the moment. Remember, let them also remember the days of darkness, for there will be many. Everything to come is not meaningless as without purpose, but it's hevel. You can't control it. You don't know it all. It's short. It's transitory. So here's how we're to live. Enjoy the moment. Don't take life too seriously, but don't take it not serious enough. Live with wisdom. There's a better and worser way to live. If I was to summarize it, I'd say this. Living wisely is the better life, even as you still face struggle in this life. We don't know if we can escape all struggle, but regardless, living wisely is the better life that we're invited to live into, which means this. Here's wisdom, as simply as I could put it, because I'm a simple man. Here's wisdom. Doing stupid is foolish, so don't do stupid. Doing nothing is folly, so don't do nothing. Rather, do something. Make a decision. Do something, but do it wisely. Do it wisely. See, what the teacher has shown us is that you can't know wisdom alone. Wisdom is something that you do. You can't just think about and say, oh, I gained all this wisdom. If you have not applied that wisdom to your life, if it has not worked out in your flesh, that wisdom is of no value to you. In fact, I've said this about truth in a previous message you may have remembered. Truth unapplied is no better than a lie, right? If you're not going to apply the truth, you may as well believe the lie because it will not benefit you. And the teacher's saying the same is true of wisdom. You can't know wisdom alone. Wisdom is something that you do. And in fact, hundreds of years after the teacher taught this, Jesus came along and taught the same thing. In fact, Jesus gave his wisdom in the most famous sermon he ever gave, the Sermon on the Mount. You can find it in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And after his teaching, saying, here's the life, the kingdom life that you're called in to live. He says, now you got to sow. You got to cast your bread upon the water. You got to invest it. You got to do something with it, or it's of no value to do. Here's what he says. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, and let's say it out loud together, puts them into practice. So everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall. Why? Because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell with a great crash. See, what Jesus is telling us is this, you can't know wisdom alone. See, notice that both the similarities, both the wise and the fool in the story of Jesus have the exact same experience, don't they? They both hear God's word and presumably they both know the words Jesus has just spoken. But what's the difference? One applied and one did not. Wisdom is something that you do. So living wisely is the better life. even as you still face struggle in this life. And we see this in the story Jesus told as well, don't we? Both the wise and the fool had to endure the storm. Being wise did not allow, because maybe you're like, well, if I follow Jesus, my life just going to be better? Not necessarily. There may be hard things you still face. But here's my guess, and here's what I believe, that even as you face those storms, you'll start to do better at life, walking in the wisdom that Jesus gives. So how do we walk wisely? Where do we start? It comes back to Jesus. In fact, wisdom literature points us there. Proverbs chapter 9 says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." The fear of the Lord means not to be afraid of God, but it means to understand He's above and I'm below. It's to understand that I'm going to be accountable to Him one day. So I'm going to take Him at His word and I'm going to do His word. I'm going to fear the Lord. I'm going to live as though He's above me. I'm going to place my life in His hands. And so He says, the knowledge of the Holy One. And do you know that some 1,000 years after the teacher taught this, Jesus would come as the Holy One of God to fulfill what the teacher in Ecclesiastes is pointing to. See, he's talking about life in this present world, but it ended with death. But Jesus came and said, no. What the teacher is pointing you to is the better life, but I've come to give you the best life. In John chapter 10, he says, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life, full, abundant, eternal, the best life. In fact, one chapter later, in chapter 11, verse 25, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will never die, but will live. I have come that you may have life. Jesus is the fullness and the fulfillment of what the teacher is pointing us to, inviting us to live wisely into the best life. And wisdom starts, it begins with the fear of the Lord. So I want to invite you, if you've never placed your faith in Jesus, if you've never placed your faith in the Holy One who came to show us who God is in the person of Jesus, He has come to give us freedom, freedom from our sin. He invites us into the fullness of life, a life that doesn't just start later. I know some people are like, oh yeah, but I gave my life to Jesus and I'm going to start living later. No, He's invited us to start life now. Eternal life begins today. You've been given today to walk into fullness of wisdom. That means you made some mistakes in the past. Me too. Don't live in regret and self-condemnation. You get to start a new story, and it starts today as you place your faith in Jesus. There's going to be people at the front that are willing to pray with you if you'd like to have prayer. Maybe some of you here today, you've placed your faith in Jesus, but there's a nugget of wisdom that has stuck out to you. And as you consider, I need to invest in many ventures, and I've been holding my temper. I've been doing good at that, and I've been doing pretty good at this area, but I was really challenged. I'm slow to make decisions, and I'm missing out on opportunities. I'm going to apply that wisdom. Maybe you're really challenged. You're like, I'm just getting a little lazy. I need to start working. I need to sow seed. Maybe you know that you're in a crossroads right now, and there's an opportunity to step into a foolish and sinful decision that could destroy all kinds of wise decisions you've made in the past. And the nugget of wisdom and truth that God is going to encourage you today with is don't write that story. Oh, I can forgive you from that, but that's a great deal of pain you don't need to walk into. Walk in the wise path, making good decisions. Living wisely is the better life. I don't know how God has challenged you, but may we be those who do what Jesus said, aren't just hearers, but are doers. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word that challenges and encourages us. And today, as we've been encouraged and challenged with many heart things like our temper, things like revenge, unforgiveness, bitterness, and the pits we dig, hoping others will fall into them, but sometimes we end up just destroying ourselves. Father, today we've been challenged with the words we use. Father, we've been challenged with the decisions we make that create our story. We can walk into pain or we can walk into goodness. And you've invited us and you've given us wisdom today. And Father, help us be those who invest, who cast our bread upon the water, who invest in many ventures with the wisdom you have already given us from your word that we've heard today. Give us the courage to step into it, we ask in your name, Jesus. Amen. Thanks so much for joining us today. We trust you have been encouraged and challenged in your faith journey. If you're desiring prayer, want more information on our church, want to partner with us, or be involved in any way, please go to our website at mountoliveefc.com. We'll see you next time.